Since the beginning of time, God's design for humanity has always been to be a giant family spread throughout the earth. So what happened? Hi, I'm Rob West. Because of the power of sin in our world, families are broken, children become orphans, and many feel alone and isolated as if they don't belong. Dr. Albert Reyes with Buckner International joins us today to share a hopeful message about God's design for his family. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, we're delighted to welcome Dr. Albert Reyes to the program for the first time. Dr. Reyes is president and CEO of Buckner International, a ministry dedicated to delivering redemptive ministry to the most vulnerable from the beginning to the ending of life. He's also the author of the brand new book, Never Alone, The Power of Family to Inspire Hope. Dr. Reyes, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Rob. Great to be on the program today.
Let's start with a bit about the book. Why did you feel like it was so important to write a book about the importance of families?
You know, I've noticed in recent years that there's an effort to undermine the family, to, you know, just take pot shots at it and deteriorate what the family is and has been. And I think that particular topic is of critical importance to communities, to cities, to any organization of humanity, is the family is at the core. The second reason I wanted to focus on that is that we provide families for children. And, you know, I think not only helping kids that don't have a family, but helping families get strong so they have a place to go.
In the book, you take us into God's Word to look at some of the families we see there. What can we learn from Scripture?
Well, there are a lot of things, Rob, that I found. I thought I knew the stories of the families in the Bible, and once I took a microscope to each one, I learned some good things and positive things we want to emulate and repeat. But I also learned some things that I thought, uh-oh, that wasn't a very good move. And you see, as mentioned, you know, the sin having its effect. So we also learn what not to do from some of the families. And I learned overall, most of them are dysfunctional like ours, and we need a redeemer to help make it better.
No question about that. Well, Buckner International is all about helping families here in the U.S. and worldwide. So why don't you share a bit about the work of the ministry that you're doing?
Well, we have our ministry based on James 1:27 that, you know, James says pure religion that God accepts is to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself undefiled from the world. So in that verse, there are two main focuses. One is for senior living, senior adults, and the other that we're talking about today is children and families. And we have those two divisions in the children and families area. We do foster care and adoption, single parent family strengthening, and then the family hope centers to help families that are struggling but haven't fallen apart yet. Along with that, we do provide shoes for children. Now 5 million pairs of shoes we've collected and distributed since 1994 in over 85 countries around the world. So it's a fantastic way to support families.
Well, we're so excited to be able to bring more exposure to it. Let's dive deeper into that project, Shoes for Orphan Souls. Tell us a bit more about it.
Well, it's a very simple concept that we collect brand new shoes for children. We receive them in our warehouse here, Center for Humanitarian Aid. Then we have volunteers come in and sort them out, and then we prepare them for shipping. And then sometimes volunteers will go with us on trips to put shoes on children all week. And in many developing countries, not only here in the U.S., but in other countries, children need tennis shoes, right, to run and play, to go to school, to be healthy, to protect their feet. And so it can really meet a lot of different needs that are foundational for just a good childhood.
And you're able to share the love of Christ at the distribution, isn't that right?
Exactly. Volunteers write a spiritual note or just a note of encouragement, something as simple as God loves you. And I'll tell you, when you're sitting down or kneeling down in front of a child and you read the note to them, it's a personal note from someone that packed the shoes to them. You can see the smile on their face.
I can only imagine. Well, folks, you can get involved with as little as $15. Put a pair of shoes on a child somewhere in the world today who needs them. Just go to giveshoestoday.org. That's giveshoestoday.org. Dr. Reyes, thanks for stopping by.
You bet. Thanks a bunch.
That was Albert Reyes, President and CEO of Buckner International. Again, that website, giveshoestoday.org. Back with your questions after this. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Leprosy was a terrifying disease in the ancient world. Today, it's curable with antibiotics, but back then there was no hope for a leper. But that didn't stop one from approaching Jesus and crying out, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." His words were more profound than he knew. Because not only did Jesus have the authority to heal his disease, Jesus also had the authority to cleanse him from his sins, which is greater by far. And it all began because this man was desperate to draw near to Jesus. And that's where saving faith begins, and where saving faith remains, drawing nearer and nearer to Jesus. Anchor Devotional can help you grow in your walk with God. Try it out at getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, we'll hear the fascinating story of a former Muslim woman who rejected Islam to receive the forgiveness of Christ for herself.
And I was in shock, and I was like, yes, I understood you love me as you love everyone. You took this woman's sin and you took mine. At this moment, I was in tears, on my knees, I give my life to Christ.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Also thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to turn the corner and take your questions today on anything financial. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. The floor is yours. The program is yours. So whatever you're kicking around in your financial life, whether it's your lifestyle, how in the world do you stay on budget in the wake of this high inflation we're experiencing, where a basket of groceries is up 23% from where it was just 3.5 years ago, and that's just on average. Or maybe it's your giving. How do you give wisely through an IRA or perhaps asset-based giving, or just wondering how do you approach the tithe now that we're under the law of Christ and not the law of Moses? What does that look like? We can talk about that. Your long-term or short-term savings and investments. Also, how do you repay debt? What's the best way to get out from under the debt that you have so you can be free to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit and really pursue all that God has has for you, because money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes, right? God owns it all. We're stewards or managers. Money's a good creation to provide and enjoy. It says that in 1 Timothy. And to give, to be a part of God's grand story, to participate in his activity, whether that's in Judea, Samaria, or to the ends of the earth, right? Is it right there in your city or perhaps in your region, or maybe you're giving to the ends of the earth and to passing the gospel to those who are unreached and everything in between. We want to be a part of our giving. And one way we do that is allowing God's resources to pass through us. Now, our goal is faithfulness. And so we look to God's word to bring in those wise principles and big ideas around money management so we can reject the message of this world and really see God as our ultimate treasure and manage his money faithfully over our lifetimes. Well, we want to help you do that, be an encouragement to you today. And so let's tackle what you're thinking about financially. 800-525-7000 is the number to call, and we've got lines open. You can call right now. In the news today, speaking of inflation, you're going to have to dig a little deeper into your pocket to pay for this year's 4th of July barbecue. According to the American Farm Bureau Federation, their estimate, the grocery tab will be about 5% higher than last year, a full 30% higher than 5 years ago. Economists say much of the increase is due to supply issues with beef and lemons, both staples of Independence Day menus that include hamburgers and lemonade. Inflation, of course, is contributing to these higher costs. So the final tab seems too good to be true, but an estimate they're saying for 10 people is around $71. I'm thinking it's quite a bit higher than that. But nevertheless, we know prices are up across the board. You're experiencing it. And coming up a little later in our broadcast, in our final segment today, Jerry Boyer will stop by. This, of course, was a key part of the discussion last night in the presidential debate. We'll get Jerry's take as an economist and a theologian and Christ follower just on everything he heard with regard to the economic state of the United States and where we're going from here under either a Trump or a Biden administration. We'll also get a look when Jerry joins us at what's happening in the presidential futures. That's right. You can buy a futures contract on who will win the presidential election. And when people have money at stake, it tends to be a pretty good predictor of where things are going. Well, quite a bit of change overnight in those futures related to the presidential election. I'm sure you can imagine what's taking place. Jerry will update us on that in the final segment, along with the latest GDP data. How is our economy performing? Is it slowing? Jerry will weigh in on that as well. You know, as I think about managing God's money, there are some traps that I think we can fall into. And let me share a few of these today, and then we'll jump into your phone calls. By the way, we do have lines open. The calls are coming in, but we've got room for you at the moment. 800-525-7000. You can call right now with whatever's on your mind, financially speaking. But I believe there are some traps we can fall into when it comes to our finances and looking at managing God's money. I think the first is living beyond your means. It's really the fear of the unexpected. I think often we can live right at our means and perhaps be worrying about the future. And I think as we look at these traps, we have to recognize that it really starts with this lordship idea and then moves to stewardship. And then ultimately, it's about being generous with what we have. But there are some practical steps to escape the world's money trap. And I think it starts with this really transferring of everything that we have, transferring the ownership to God. Now, it was all his to begin with. It's still all his. But I think in our minds, we have to be clear on kind of affecting that transfer in our lives so that we truly see God as owner, and then we can assume our role as manager of God's resources. And, you know, it really does have significant implications, because if I believe I'm a manager of the master's money, then the only way I can be faithful in managing the master's money is to know the master's heart.
because that's the role of the steward, is to honor the master's wishes as you manage the master's money. Then after we transfer ownership, we have to create financial margin to fulfill God's purposes. This idea of cushion or margin is so key to our financial lives, because it's how we accomplish our God-given goals. You will never accomplish your goals without some sort of margin or cushion in your life, because if you're spending right up to the edge, you'll never have anything left to accelerate your giving or, you know, pay down debt or save for the future. And so after we transfer ownership, we've got to have financial margin. That, of course, requires a budget or a spending plan. And then I think we just need to increasingly over our lifetimes grow in giving and sharing, because what we know is that that breaks the grip of money over our lives. It calibrates our hearts to the Father. I like to say we're most like God when we're giving. Remember, we were created in His image, and He is the ultimate giver. And so I think as we think about those ideas, first of all, transferring ownership, creating margin, growing in giving, that's going to put us on the right path toward that faithful stewardship that we all desire. A few more thoughts on those traps around the corner, but in the meantime, let's take some phone calls here. Looks like I've got a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin today in Mississippi. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi. Last week you were finishing a program and you said something about a company or a corporation. I thought you called it NVIDIA, and you were talking about how huge it was. And I didn't remember ever hearing about that. Could you explain that a little bit?
I'd be happy to. So NVIDIA has kind of come onto the scene in a hurry. And basically, they design and supply chips and systems and software for artificial intelligence and computer graphics. Now, they were founded back in the 90s. They're a U.S. corporation. And until kind of the explosion in artificial intelligence, Mary, they were primarily known for creating what's called the GPU, which was the graphics processor for all the PC gaming. So, you know, the massive rise in gaming on a personal computer. Well, they now focus on artificial intelligence, and they really are the leader for chips that go into the computers that drive AI. And with the massive growth of artificial intelligence, they're now growing massively. Their market capitalization is larger than the GDP of all but 7 countries. It's amazing. I've got to take a break. We'll finish up on the other side. Stay right there.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Ark.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members of AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Ark.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7.
For 40 plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, helping you look at your money decisions through the lens of Scripture, recognizing that if something is going to compete with God for first position in your life, it's most often going to be money. That doesn't mean we need to be scared of it. It doesn't mean it's evil. It just means we need to have our hearts in the right place and realize our propensity toward greed and covetousness. May God, our ultimate treasure, see money as a tool, and then bring in these wise principles from Scripture about how we handle God's money by living within our means and avoiding debt and having some margin and setting long-term goals. And yes, of course, giving generously. We try to do that each day by being hopeful and encouraging and also practical as we answer your questions today. We'd love to hear from you with whatever's on your mind today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Coming up in our final segment today, Jerry Boyer will stop by, our resident economist, with his analysis, economically speaking, of the debate last night, what's going on in the presidential futures market today, and an update on the economy. What is the latest data on our overall growth here in the United States, what we call GDP, the gross domestic product. Before the break, just to finish this, and then we'll move to some other calls today, we heard from Mary. She said, I heard you talking about NVIDIA and how large it was. What is it, and why should I be concerned about it? Well, it is massive, as I mentioned. First of all, it's the primary supplier that designs and supplies the chips for artificial intelligence. So as AI just explodes on the scene, they're the primary manufacturer of these chips that are key to these computers that are driving the artificial intelligence. So as you might imagine, the company is exploding. Its market cap is larger now than the GDP of all but seven countries in the world. It's larger than the net worth of the world's 12 richest people, and it's larger than the entire oil and gas industry in the United States. It's also becoming a bigger and bigger part, as you might imagine, of the indexes as it relates to investing. So think with the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, those are both what are called cap-weighted indexes. So that means they're capitalization weighted. That means that the percentage contribution of each stock as it's represented in the index, S&P or NASDAQ, is based on its total market capitalization. And that's why it's more than 6%. Just this one company, NVIDIA, is more than 6% today of both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, which is just mind-boggling. Now, it's obviously been on a tear on the upside, even though in the last, you know, 5 days it pulled back quite a bit, but it's rebounding. So NVIDIA over the past year is up about 210% just in the last month, up about 12%. So it's been obviously performing really well. But as with any of these companies that are high flyers, that are, you know, just massive in size, that have had such dramatic performance, and it was similar in other situations, like in the dot-com era and others, you just have to be careful. You don't want to trade it, in my view. Remember, investing is for the long haul. It's not speculative. It's not jumping in and jumping out or trying to time the market. And that's what often happens with some of these huge companies that have incredible momentum
and the volume on this stock is just staggering in terms of the number of shares being traded every day. But you have to be careful. So I would only invest in big tech, something like Nvidia or Apple or Microsoft, where it's a part of a well-diversified strategy with a long-term perspective. But hopefully that helps you, Mary. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Beverly. How can I help you?
Yes, sir. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. Appreciate your call.
Yes, sir. You're very welcome. My concern is, and my heart's desire, is I know that America is a country of opportunity. We have the love in our hearts to help others. But God also said that poverty is a curse. Mm. And we are going above and beyond to help all these people that have never offered any Social Security to us elderly people. There's affordable housing. They come in, they get free housing, they get free cell phones, they get everything, food stamps. Well, I'm not going to say whose side I'm on, but I was in Washington several years ago, and there was affordable housing that Ben Carson had worked on for 2 years, which offered everybody an American dream of owning a home. So they weren't paying for people to live. These people were having the dream of living in America and owning a home. Prison reform was implemented to where these nonviolent prisoners were given the opportunity to go to trade school, be airplane mechanics, to be welders. So we weren't paying to house them. We were given the opportunity to be prosperous, which God wants us to be. We have the opportunity, the free will to do anything we want. But we have got to focus on people working and receiving what God has given us.
Yeah.
I do time with those receiving all these handouts.
Yeah.
They should be drug tested. Yeah. I mean, they're just, I don't understand it, but I do know that this country was given to us by our Lord and Savior, our founding fathers, and we have got to follow our hearts. And if someone in the grocery store that you know is trying and they're working, give them a helping hand. You'll reap the rewards in heaven.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Beverly, and I couldn't agree more in the sense that absolutely we recognize God ordained work. He declared it was good when he created the universe and everything in it. Genesis 1:31 in the creation account, it says, "And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good." And then he goes on to say in Genesis 2:15, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it." So we need to put to rest the misconception that work is punishment for the fall. We know that's not true, clearly in Scripture. And so we're to be fruitful and multiply. And we realize that in doing that, God is our boss. We should exemplify Christ, but we should be hard workers. And the extent to which in this country we've lost that work ethic, I think, is a absolute counter to what we see in the gospel and what we know our call and responsibility is as God's children. So very well said. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. With all the uncertainty in the world today, it's good to know that God's promises never change. On Christ in Prophecy, we'll examine the signs of the times and consider what's really happening in the world today through the lens of God's prophetic word. To hear more biblical hope for the future, join me for Christ in Prophecy, Sundays at 11 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio. And find out what's really going on in the world.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders. and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth, your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions on anything financial. In the next segment, Jerry Boyer stops by with his update on the economic angle of the debate. We'll also talk about the presidential futures and an update on GDP, what's happening with the U.S. gross domestic product that's just around the corner. In this segment, I've got room for some questions at 800-525-7000. Any financial questions in play today, we would love to hear from you. We heard before the break from Beverly, and she was talking about just what's going on here in the United States, especially related to work. And are we experiencing a change in the value of hard work? You know, the Apostle Paul had some experience with this. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, he writes, "We would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat." And I think, you know, it's the idea that this work was given to us as a gift by God. We were created in his image. God was a worker. We see that on full display in the creation account and beyond. And it does seem like in the United States, we don't value hard work as much as past generations have. I'm familiar with a poll last year that was done by the Wall Street Journal that revealed that Americans see hard work, among other virtues, as less important today than in the past. So 2/3 of the roughly 1,000 Americans that were surveyed related to this said hard work was still very important to them, but that was a drop of 16% from when the journal first asked that question back in 1998. Now, what are the possible reasons for this decline? Well, one could certainly be that fewer people are growing up in the church, fewer people are hearing God's word, which certainly values hard, honest work. And we realize when we read God's word, we were created to be workers, to be productive, to be fruitful, to take God's creation and the raw materials of God's creation and improve them and order them and create and build. Our culture also glorifies leisure and often seems to mock those who work hard. I think it's all a lesson in how knowing and applying God's word can make a tremendous positive difference in our lives. And so I think as a result of that, we need to make the effort to pass this on to our kids. You know, we need to be teaching among the ideas that God owns it all and that, you know, we're to be faithful stewards of God's resources. We need to teach the value of hard work and that discipline, that ethic that needs to be a part of their lives and was a part of God's original design. So, Beverly, appreciate your call today and you weighing in on the program. All right, let's take a few more questions today. 800-525-7000. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Eric. Go ahead, sir.
Hi there. I'm wondering about the annuity that you talk about on your radio station. If you had a $2 million house that was paid off and you were 50 years old, working, had a family to support, would you donate the $2 million house and just live off the proceeds of the annuity while you're still working and figure out another form of living?
Yeah, so this would be your primary residence?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're talking about a charitable gift annuity, which is it's a tool that allows you to make a contribution to a charitable gift annuity. You know, when that is done, you get a partial tax deduction and you get an income stream for life. And then at your death, the remainder amount is then given to the ministry or charity. And so it's a way to get a tax benefit today, to get that income stream, which during the retirement season of life is often highly valued because it can be the key to kind of shoring up your needs and covering your lifestyle spending, and then allows you to kind of pre-commit to a pretty substantial and, you know, in many cases, gift to the charity at death. Now, what kind of assets, can you put into a charitable gift annuity? Well, you can certainly put cash and stocks, but you absolutely can also do real estate. And so, you know, there's a wide range of options there. So I think the question would be, with your primary residence, yes, it's a major asset. So it's an opportunity for funding kingdom work in exchange, in this case, for an income stream. I think you would just want to think through that because, now you've perhaps depleted your largest asset. You do have the income stream, but did you lose your flexibility? And then what would you do in terms of where you would live? Would you then rent something or do you have other assets that you could purchase another place?
Have to figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's a part of it. You know, here's the bottom line, though, Eric, that I think you're hitting on is that, you know, the way we're going to give at a maximum level is by thinking beyond cash giving, right? Because 80 to 90% of giving today is done in the form of cash, but only 10 to 20% of our wealth is held in the form of cash, which just simply means, and this is what you're hitting on, our greatest opportunity for giving is on our balance sheet. Clearly, that includes real estate. Now, typically what somebody will do is they will give, appreciated stock. And so instead of paying the capital gain, they put that into the charitable gift annuity in exchange for an income stream. They might make a cash gift or maybe a rental property, a second piece of property that they would donate to the CGA and miss out on the capital gains and then benefit from that income stream. Typically, you don't do it with your primary residence just because it creates, you know, a number of then other questions that you have to answer. But certainly it could. And so I think at the end of the day, it's a part of a planning process. If you have questions about it, not only could the team at the AFA Foundation help you think through that and even run some illustrations, you could go to afafoundation.net to connect with them, but also a certified Kingdom advisor, Eric, somebody who understands your values, who's really skilled as an advisor, could come alongside you, look at your financial situation, and help you think about how you could do far more giving than you are today, but also in light of your overall financial plan. So if you'd like to connect with a CKA, you can do that at faithfi.com. Just click find a professional. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Let's go to Louisiana. Hi, Faye. Go ahead.
Hi there. I'm calling to possibly get your advice. I'm going to be 70 years old. I'm retired. I'm on Social Security. but the cost of living, namely, that have gone up tremendously lately for me,
yeah.
Because I own my home, is the flood insurance, the homeowner's insurance, the car
yes.
insurance. And I was wondering if it would be a good idea to take the interest that I'm earning in my IRA account to supplement my income. I do even work a part-time job, but it
yeah.
seems like with all these insurance premiums going up, it's crazy.
Yes.
And I know we'll have to pay interest on that. I mean, taxes on that. Just wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I completely understand, Faye, where you're coming from. And it's harder now than ever, especially if you're on a fixed income, trying to make the budget balance. It balanced a few years ago. It doesn't any longer. And you're hitting on some of those categories that have gone up the most, food and some of those insurance premiums. What is the balance in that IRA today?
It's about $250.
Okay, and how is it invested? Is it in stocks and bonds?
No, it's just in a credit union.
Okay.
IRA.
Right. Yeah, very good. What I would be thinking about pulling no more than 4% a year. And so that'd be $10,000 a year or about $800 a month. If you can take less, that's even better. Let's do this. You and I'll finish up off the air and we'll be right back.
Fostering and adoption is not a Band-Aid for infertility.
No,
like it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown, thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way. 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We were talking to Faye before the break. She and I have the chance to visit a bit more off the air. $250,000 in her credit union in an IRA. It's right now in CDs. They're laddered. She's not pulling anything out. She's earning about an average of 5% a year. She's just experiencing, like so many others, even with her part-time work and expenses up across the board, she's just having trouble balancing the budget, wanting to know, what do you think about starting to pull something out? And I said, absolutely, because the nice thing is she only needs about $300 a month, which even after the tax she pays on the amount she pulls out, you know, she needs less than 2% a year of that portfolio, which is great, because if she keeps those CDs laddered, she doesn't want to take any risk with it, then she can, you know, access that money. That's what it's there for. And the goal can be to maintain that principal balance over time, but give her the ability to cushion, you know, that budget and balance it. And so we had a delightful conversation conversation off the air, and that's the direction she's going to go. And that really leads us to our next conversation. Jerry Boyer's with us. Jerry joins us each Friday in this segment as we talk about the markets and the economy. He's our resident economist. And Jerry, you know, I think what Faye is experiencing is what so many others are experiencing. This was, of course, front and center in the debate last night, but it's just the fact that, I mean, a basket of groceries is up, you know, I think 23% over the last 3.5 years. I mean, this is hitting Americans, you know, in a real way, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I'm glad that came up in the debate last night. I think it deserved more attention than it got. The moderators, you know, didn't ask about it nearly as much. In other words, the moderators' attention to this, I think, is a lot less than the attention would be if those two men were put in front of a group of people at the DMV, you know, or any other kind of random gathering of Americans. You know, I think there may have been a little less foreign policy and a little bit more like, you know, I can't take my kids to McDonald's anymore without breaking the bank. Former President Trump is right on this. I'm not taking sides, but he's right. This was an unforced error. This did not have to happen. This is a policy decision. The policy decision is when you spend a lot more money than you bring in taxes, the difference is made up by the central bank. And the central bank does it by creating new money. Boom. That's it.
Yeah.
When you create new money, you know, if there's 100 prints of a certain piece of art, it's a certain value. If there's 1,000 copies of it, then it's less value.
Yes.
Well, those little prints of George Washington also get less valuable as you print more of them. And so the dollar has declined in value, and it doesn't buy as much as it did. And I think that's almost the number one issue for Americans. And why shouldn't it be? I mean, Jesus says if you don't care for your own, you're worse than an infidel. Kind of. Apart from our obligations directly to God to worship and serve him, our main obligation in the world is to take care of our family. And that's getting increasingly hard with bad government policy.
Yes. Well, no question about it, Jerry. What about moving forward? I mean, did you hear anything last night related to the go forward plan that was either encouraging or discouraging to you?
Well, I got to tell you, the whole thing was discouraging to me. I mean, I'm sure you know there was a time when it was Thomas Jefferson versus John Adams. Just want to let Americans know what it can be, what's possible. That was not Thomas Jefferson versus John Adams last night. But those are the choices. I watch the futures market very carefully because it's people making predictions, but they have skin in the game. And what I saw was the biggest move I've ever seen in the history of following the political futures market. The blowout, Trump was already slightly ahead in the futures market, but that thing swung 18% in like half an hour.
Wow.
I think people who are watching that looked at that and they looked at President Biden and they said, Americans are not going to send that man back for another 4 years and put him in charge in a dangerous world and an economically challenging world. There was somewhat of a decrease of the probability that Biden would even be the nominee, but he's still far and ahead, most likely to be the nominee. Newsom is second, not Kamala. That's interesting. But, you know, still like distant second and third. So what the futures market is saying is Biden's going to remain the nominee despite all the chatter in the newspapers, and then he's going to lose in November. So what I heard about the economy was Trump was saying, I'm going to keep the tax cuts, which I think is a good idea. Trump is talking about tariffs, which I think is a bad idea because they directly raise prices. Those are inflationary. But on balance, the economic programs of the two, although each one has some flaws, I think the Trump economic program is a good deal more likely to lead us back to prosperity than the Biden economic program.
Yeah, that's helpful. Jerry, it's been obviously some headlines as of late leading up to the debate. One was around just the number of S&P 500 CEOs or Fortune 500, I should say, CEOs and the lack of support for President Trump. And yet, given the work you do in corporate engagement, I would say their ability to be in touch with kind of what are the real issues facing America is lacking. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think CEOs sometimes when it comes to politics are responding more to pressure groups than what might be good for the business or what the customers are talking about. But I want to give a shout out. The CEO of Tractor Supply this week put out a statement We've been doing some engaging with them over the past, I think, 2 years. And he said, we're not going to do Pride Months. We're not going to do Pride Parades. We're not going to do racial and gender quotas. We're not going to talk about reducing our carbon footprint. We're going to be a tractor supply company. We're going to focus on our business and stay out of the politics. Mm. I think that was a great step forward. I think the really important thing here is he said, we're not going to participate in the Human Rights Campaign's Corporate Equality Index, which is basically kind of the LGBTQ activist. Yeah, that's like their main way of influencing companies. That's what Bud Light was trying to get a high score on. That's what Disney has been following. That's what Target was getting 100% on. And I've never seen a company say, we're not going to participate in that any longer. And I think that really changes the narrative, because the narrative of the sexual revolution, the alphabet, the keep adding letters. And if you're not on board, if you're not an ally, watch out, your career might end. That was always going to be like the inevitable march of history. Get on board now before it's too late. And this is the first time I've seen it have a significant reversal. But one reversal creates that, it gets rid of that sense of inviolability, gets rid of the sense that this is the inevitable future. So I think there's going to be other companies that have customer bases that are more conservative or rural. They're going to say, wait a minute, maybe we should do the same thing. Maybe we should get out of this politics. So I think what happened this week, presidential debate, obviously very important, but in corporate life, having a major company say, we're done, we're out of all that stuff, that's also important too.
Jerry, could we be heading for a day where it's in vogue to focus on your core business?
I think we are. And I say that as somebody who fights, this 13 hours a day, 6 days a week, and mostly loses. Yeah. So I understand the challenges of getting corporate America back on its core mission. But I know that when I started doing this 4 or 5 years ago, I was told over and over again, it just won't work. It's impossible. Why are you even bothering? And I've seen it work. I've seen it work to some degree with JP Morgan Chase, the biggest bank in the world. I saw Exxon, the biggest energy company, biggest private energy company in the world, say, you know what? We're tired of this activism. We're going to focus on being an oil and gas company. I'm not saying that's our strength. a lot of it was the overreach of the other side. Yeah. But just showing up and speaking truth can have more power than we realize. Look, if it's a power game, right now, culturally, Christians are low power. There's a time when we were in charge. We ain't in charge now. So yeah. What do we have? Truth. And looks like often truth is enough.
Yeah. Well said, Jerry. Let's talk about the economy. We've got some, we always have data coming out. You remind us often that the word data means gift. And so it is a gift to see data and what it tells us about the past and also a predictor of the future. What is the latest data on the U.S. economy and its growth?
I think the two big items are we got the GDP report a couple of days ago, and it showed definitely a slowing economy. 1.7% growth, or 1.4, depending on whether you're doing year over year or quarter over quarter. It's not a recession. It's pretty much what we've been talking about for the past couple of years, what they call a growth recession. The number does negative, but it's in that 1.5% range,
yeah.
And it hurts. So I saw a lot of press reports to say, well, the economy's doing better than Americans think, and why are Americans thinking the economy's doing so badly? And I'm thinking, hey, someone limousines you to work there at Good Morning America. I mean, who am I going to believe about how good the economy is doing?
You or
the people who don't seem to be getting it. Americans know the economy is weak. They see it in the job market and they see it in inflation. So the weak GDP growth, like the economy is getting close to recession. So investors looked at that and they said, okay, well, the central bank's going to cut rates because they're going to try to stimulate growth through money creation. They think that works. They think printing more portraits of George Washington gets the economy going. It doesn't. But markets said, the Fed's going to throw money into the system. So what happens? Stock market goes up because they're throwing money into the system. The NASDAQ goes up more than the Dow because it's more sensitive. It's more speculative. So that new money helps with the bubble there. Gold goes up because that's a hedge against the debt crisis that comes when they create too much money. It's all sort of depressingly predictable, the way markets are responding to a dysfunctional government.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks for stopping by, my friend. We appreciate your insights, as always.
Always a pleasure. God bless you.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer, our resident economist. Folks, as we finish up here today, let me remind you, this is the last broadcast day for me on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio before the end of our fiscal year here at FaithFi. We can only bring you this program as a listener-supported ministry when we have listener support, and we're about $22,000 away from our goal for the entire year of listener support. We've had others that have gone before you to encourage you and say, we're putting up $50,000 to encourage you to do the same. Would you help us with a gift before June the 30th? Every gift right now goes toward our June 30 goal at faithfi.com. Just click give. If this has been a blessing to you, give right now. Faithfi.com. Just click give. Big thanks to Jim and Autumn and Devin today. Couldn't do it without them. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.